And so, you know, the Godhead came about. And it talked about how that Christ was with God in the beginning. And this is back before the earth, back before, in the throne area of God, whatever. So, you know, when God's plan came down and he said, well, we're going to create, it was a known fact that this creation was going to be in need of a Savior. And so, in the throne area of God, the decision was made between the Father and the Son that the Son would come and do the work that he done. And again, you know, miracles can't describe that sort of thing. I just don't have words for it, really and truly. I don't. I wish I did. But nevertheless, I'm trying to get a handle and get an understanding on what gives here. So, in the 28th chapter of Proverbs, it talks about, and the gist here is unscrupulous dealings. And, you know, when man versus man, it seems like there's always someone trying to take the advantage. Now, I bowled with a guy for a long time that was a retired Army officer, and he talked about Jewish percentage. If you had two or three strikes more than he did, he called it Jewish percentage, and I didn't really understand at that time what Jewish percentage was. But now I'm beginning to realize that a little more and more that if you have Christ and he is, you're connected with him, then you certainly have this percentage that the Jews had over the rest of the world when things came about the way God wanted them to come about. And enough said about that. But he was a good friend of mine, and I think of him often. Okay, verse 1. 28th chapter of Proverbs said, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. So you see, we're all of a sudden, when we started off, we're getting the two hands, the left and the right, if you want to put it that way. It says the lawless one runs. They run, and you know, even if nobody's following. And I know we've all watched on TV and seen bank holdups and the various things where people run in and get something that isn't theirs, and they run out and they leave and they're running as if somebody's following them when they're really not. And this is the nature of man. In a sinful condition, you know, he wants to flee. He wants to go back into the darkness, if you will. You know, we talked about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was the light. Well, they want to go to darkness. So, and the righteous are bold. You know, if you have Christ on your side, you can certainly be confident or have confidence, and you can have trust and faith in what you believe. And so that's a little different from the ones that grab something and run. You know, we don't have to do that sort of thing. So right off the bat, we've got a lesson here. And then verse 2, it says, for the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. So in verse 2, and I'm sure that we're, and you can go and look at, boy, there's some great notes in there about people that you know, are the examples of this. And we won't get into them tonight, but please go back and look at them. And so the transgression is, you know, a sin against a ruler or lawful authority. And he's talking about here, but here it's sin of a land. It's land that man controls, a ruler would control. And he says, many are the princes thereof. So there's always a young one in the wings. If that one falls, to fill that void and take over that land that really doesn't belong to them, but grasp it for his own means, if you will. And it said, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. So, but, you know, if you're looking at this and these people with wisdom and knowledge, it'll stand out as true people. And they'll do what's true and what's right. And it says that the state thereof shall be prolonged. So if a person gets it, that shows wisdom and knowledge, especially that wisdom and knowledge of God, then there's that hope of that being prolonged, and that he'll do the right thing, and God will let him rule and reign a long time. And verse 3, it says this, a poor man that oppressed the poor is like a sweeping rain which leaveth no food. Now, we've all seen, we've got the means of TV in this day and age. When this is written, long, long, many eons before television. And so, a flood was something that was very devastating. And the reason it's devastating is that it washes everything away and it contaminates everything that it touches. And so he says the poor, and the poor here is the word needy. And it says that he'll take everything from those like him. And it gives the example there of a flood. And the flood will certainly take everything away from people. And, you know, we looked at some of these nations over around in the Russia area, and that's been going on right recently, that it's a bad situation, but it happens. Verse 4. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. So you find the lawless people here that's being mentioned will gravitate with like kind. They, you know, my grandmother used to say, birds of a feather flock together. Pretty much truth. And I think that kind of gives us a pretty good example. And and so we find there that in 4, it says, but those that keep the law, or hearken to, will stand against the laws. Because it seems like that as the world has progressed from day one, that there are things that you could do, things that you could not do. And that was instituted in the whole scheme of things, if you will. And then 5, you get down to 5, and it says in 5, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. And so this is a great example of the two hands. You know, if you go and you talk to people that are in jail, and I've done that a lot because for 7 years I was magistrate in this county. And most of them said, well, you know, I didn't really give it a thought beforehand, or didn't really care. And because, you know, they were only had the evil thoughts in their mind, and then there was no love showing forth in that situation. But it says, those who seek the Lord. And that's a different story here. They are given understanding. When you seek the Lord and you ask the Lord for help, the understanding begins to show up. It's there. And you don't really have to ask anybody. I've heard people say, well, let me go ask my preacher. You don't need to ask the preacher. The Holy Spirit should give that to you. That's, you know, shouldn't be a problem. And in verse 6, we get down to the situation. It talks about better poor than rich. And I know I added these this verse together a little bit, but let's go back and read it. It says, better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. So this is how the Lord looks upon man and mankind, because, you know, we read over in Proverbs 6 where it says that he had all the riches in his corner. God did. He had the gold and the silver. He had the good gold and silver. It was in his corner. So here it says, talking about better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness. Excuse me. And that's integrity there. You can be poor. Sure, you can be poor, but you can have integrity with it. You know, you don't have to, you certainly don't have to be down on yourself. Even if you're poor, that's not, believe me, I'm talking out of experience. But he says, then he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. And, you know, that gets down to the double ways situation. And it, when you look at the word perverse, it means, in this sense, it means crooked. Knotty or distorted. It's kind of like a board. You know, if you go to the lumber place and you're going to do a little work on the house, you don't want nothing that's crooked or knotty or distorted. You don't want to try to straighten something out. And it's not of much value. And that's how the rich are. They're perverse. They're, they may have plenty of money, but they're not of much value, even if he is rich. And I thought that was quite a good one. In verse 7 it says this, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion to of righteous men shameth his father. Boy, it seems like there's nothing here that isn't covered, is there? A wise son certainly is a son of intelligence. And certainly if he's a companion of righteous men, or men that's away from God and away from the law, then he becomes ashamed of his family. Again, that kind of goes back to a bird of the feather, if you will. And I keep thinking these things that I've heard so many people say down over the years, and when I read this, it just comes back and warms my heart. I can't help but think that. And he says in verse 8, He that by usury and unjust gain increases his substance, he shall gather it in for him that will pity the poor. So you have one here, this usury. This is people that loan money for at a high rate of interest, if you will. And we have a word for them in the South. I guess they're all over the world this way, but we call them a loan shark. And I think that's what he's talking about here, is somebody that charges exorbitant interest just because he can. He gets somebody over a barrel and then, you know, takes advantage of them. And then he talks about he who gathers for him. If you notice that in the other part of he shall gather it for him, that will pity the poor. You know, I kind of think about the tax collectors in the Gospels. That kind of comes to my mind. They didn't have a conscience, if you will. They would take you know, what the people were going to buy food with for their children, and they would put it in the treasuries of those rulers and those sort of things. I think that's what he's giving us a picture of here, if you will. And you might disagree with it, but I certainly he'll pity the poor, but he won't do anything about it. And then in 9 and 10 kind of like goes together here. And it says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Who causes the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit. So we just got finished with the epistle to the Galatians, and Paul used a large portion of it to try to get these people in Galatia back on track when he was there and preaching to them. They heard the word of God, and then after he left, there others come in and said, oh, wait a minute, you got to be circumcised and keep the law. You got to do all these things. And so this is a picture that was written a long time before Paul, and a long time before these Galatians heard these words. But yet, you know, it's true. And they turned their ear from instructions. The instructions is the law. That's what the law is instructions. And he says, even the prayer is an abomination. And you know, this word abomination in the scripture, I think if there's ever a sugar-coated word, and you can disagree with this if you want to, if there's ever a sugar-coated word in the scripture, an abomination is it. Because, you know, that's what Satan was called when he took Jesus up on the high mountain, and he showed him all these things, all the things that Christ himself created. But Satan had wrestled them away from Adam in the garden, and he told Christ, you know, if you'll just fall down and worship me, I'll give you all these things. The Bible says that was an abomination, and that he was an abomination, and that abomination means a special idiot. So it takes a special idiot to stand before the Creator of the world and offer him something that's his anyway. thought on it long enough? Okay, we'll go on. 10. So, in 10 it says, these same ones that he's talking about that turned away their ears, and they caused the righteous to go astray in an evil way. And this is, man, this is what Paul laid out in Galatians. So plain. So plain. So things haven't changed much, have they? He said, but the upright shall have good things in possession. Back to 11. Rich man, again. You know, a lot of things written way back early on about rich men. And I guess there's a reason for it. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searches him out. Whoa, I like that. The rich man, the ish, they have the eyes of conceit. They can't see any further than beyond ego, their own self. They're full of it. But you know, he says the poor one, and I think that God gives us that some understanding that we get for free. They can see through all this deceit, generally speaking. Now there's a lot to get taken, but yet we should be reminded that this world is full of deceit and that we should be able to see it. Now, verse 12. It said, when righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. Amen. I like that statement. The upright ones rejoice in God's grace. And certainly, the wicked is certainly here bound on this earth. It says, but when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. I didn't fully understand what that meant other than the fact that hidden in the righteous man is the heart that God cherishes. We'll leave it at that. 13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. And whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. Does that give you a picture of Adam? The Garden of Eden? The fig leaves, if you will? He that covereth his sin, oh, he was naked. I'm gonna cover this nakedness. That didn't suffice in God's eyes. And he didn't prosper because he was kicked out of the garden. Oh man, he had it all. Gee. But whosoever confesses and forsaketh them. See, the fact is there's a way out of sin. And that was the reason that the Lord Jesus Christ came here, was to give us that way out. And so, that gives us mercy. That truly gives us mercy. 14. Says, happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. So, believing and understanding God's will makes one happy. He gives one peace. You know, quite often we see the words joy and peace. That's the only one, truly the only way it can come. Hey, I don't know any other way to describe it, but see, but the mischief here is the things that are brought on by this world. We live in chaos. We live in a world of mischief, deceit. This is Satan's mode of operation. Works that way. Then you get down to verse 15. And I know I'm going through this a little fast, but I want to get to the end of the chapter, if I could, before my time is up. 15. As a roaring lion and a raging bear, so is the wicked ruler over poor people. And I thought, oh gee, this makes great sense. You know, but now a roaring lion, while he is devouring his prey, and not stalking, he is not roaring. When he is eating, he isn't roaring. And when he's stalking, he's not roaring. It's only when something comes up to take it away from him after he has it that he roars. Kind of like man. And then a raging boar. Raging bear, I'm sorry. And so he rages while he stalks. And he rages while he's on the chase. But when he makes the kill or makes the down, he doesn't do all this raging while he's devouring. So you see, they're kind of in opposite of each other. And wicked rulers, are likened to each one. You have some that are one way, you have some that are the other. Now, let's go to verse 16. And it says, the prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor. In 16 there it says, the prince of only understanding, he is a great oppressor. He wants understanding, but he doesn't live by understanding. So in that sense, he cuts short his days by being an oppressor. It says there, but he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. So this is the other hand, or the one that hates covetous. He doesn't want these things for himself, and so therefore, according to Proverbs, he can extend his days, and he shall prolong his days. 17. A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him. Well, I looked at this thing, and it didn't really makes sense to begin with, but the note in there in the companion Bible was so great, I said, well, I'll just read that whole note there because that makes it truly make sense. So you have violence of blood, and that is, you know, when it gets down to it, that is to slay, because life is in blood, and certainly if you take man's blood, eventually are going to take his life. And he says, no man there in 17 in the notes. That's none, i.e. a man oppressed with the guilt of murder. Look at Genesis 9:4-5. Will flee to the pit, of destruction. Let none lay hold on him. There is no occasion for him. He is his own tormentor and will probably be his own executioner, or will deliver himself up to justice. How often do we see these people go in these schools with these guns and shoot innocent people, and before the thing is over, will turn around and execute themselves? Oh, how great is the Proverbs, how great is the Word of God that we can see and understand and realize that quite often that's the case. And this was spoken of way, way, way before any handguns, any rifles, or any sets. But there's always been weapons. You know, you don't have to have one that fires to have a weapon. Many things certainly can be a weapon. But that, to me, kind of made a whole lot of sense when I read it, and I hope that it did to you, too, because that immediately brought to my mind a lot of these things that have been going on that way. Whoso walketh upright shall be saved, verse 18. But he that is perverse, you know, we talked about that in verse 6, about crooked, knotty, and distorted. But he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. It's kind of like a bad bow-legged man, you know. He seemingly can't get out from under his own feet. But he said, whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved. Those that are in God's will and heeds to God and in God's way, certainly have the leg up. We get to verse 19. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. Here plenty could mean abundance or abounding, if you will. And I go back to think of when Adam was put out of the garden. And he said, Adam, you're going to earn your keep by the sweat of your brow. Gee. I'd like to see the look on Adam's face. I think at that point in time, he finally understood the consequences that he was in. And he says, but he that follow after vain persons shall have poverty enough. So, you get the other hand here. This is, the word poverty here is not the same one that we read before. It's 7389. In the Strong's, and it means in the Hebrew, in need. Because you could be in poverty in a sense and not be in need. You could have all the money in the world and not have love and friends and Christ. You can be in poverty. And think on that. Verse 20. A faithful man shall abound with all but with blessings. There the word is. The word abound. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. How true that is. God will bless you if you will allow him to. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Oh, wait. Yeah. He will not go unpunished. Not be innocent. You know, if you're innocent, there's nothing to punish you for. But if you're guilty, there is a punishment that lingers on, especially in the realm of law. Then 21, to have respect of a person is not good. Whoa! He says, for a piece of bread, that man will transgress. Now, a lot of these things I come up on, and I said, wait a minute, I got to think about this. And this is one reason why I'm reading the whole chapter. A lot of times we put faith in people. And we put faith in man. And we shouldn't put faith in man except it be God's man. And if he gets hungry enough, if man gets hungry enough, it gets in a situation desperate enough, he'll turn on you. Don't say no, he won't. Yeah, he will. He'll turn on you. The word says he will. Verse 22. It says, he that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. See? I just said a little bit ago, you can be in poverty and still be rich. Yep. Because he hasteth to be rich. He is going to you know, the quick riches makes the eyes only see evil. They don't make it see the good. And it's really hard to separate those two. And he says he considers it not. He doesn't see that poverty, or in this case, the word is want, is about to overtake him. I want. You know, we all know these folks that say, I want this, I want that, I want what you have. They're never satisfied with what they have. They're always in the want. Well, they need a little, get a little dose of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the want will turn into something else. The want will turn into agape love. Woo! Think about that. 23. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Oh, gee. Rebuketh, to address with sharpness. Sharpness, that which offendeth a man. Ooh. He says, that works. And he says, afterward you find more favor. If you're going to tell a man it's false, he's not going to stand there and listen to you too long. You better say it quick. But now, if you flatter him a little bit with his tongue, if you give him a little false praise, he'll hang around. So if you're going to do that, you got to learn to mix it up, I think. Because these words here are really profound, I swear. And then it says in 25, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Proud heart. And that proud heart is a notion of swelling up. You know, we think we're going to swell ourselves up. We're going to be bigger than our normal. We're going to think more of ourselves than we think of others. That made fat there is trust, confidence, or be able to eat well. They said, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. That is to have abundance. That is to eat well. If you want to get right down to it. It says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. So if you're going to trust in your own heart or in your own self, you better watch out. You're a fool. He said, but whoso walketh wisely, whoso are walking in the footsteps that's prescribed in God's word, shall be saved, delivered. Delivered there is generally always saved. Okay? Got two more. And we're going to just about get this in. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. So, you know, if it's a good cause, don't hold back, but always prove it, if you will. You don't want to hide your eyes from something that God has got a hand in. You'll have to suffer the consequences if you do. Then you get 28. It said, when the wicked rise, men hide themselves. But a wicked man, he perishes, and the righteous abound, increase. So there you have it. You got 28. The wicked man rise up, and they continue to rise up. We have the wicked, they're going to be with us from now on. Sometimes men quake in their boots or shake or hide. But sooner or later, they fall. And whenever they fall, the righteousness are abound, and they'll pick up the increase. They'll pick up the abounding part that was left over. And so there you have Proverbs 28. I certainly hope that you got out of it what I got out of it, because I read it and reread it, and I said, gee, I'm going to have to make some notes here. And so that's what I wrote down, and part of it is in the, you'll find it in the notes, and part of it's kind of hard to find. Part of it, there is no notes. So I had to go to other sources to look it up. And certainly I hope that, I did it well enough to where, each of us can get a lesson from it. And I thank you for being with me tonight, and I hope that we made it all the way through the study without getting thrown around with this, getting knocked off the air and all this stuff with our sound. And maybe we've kind of gotten over that. Hope we did. And great. It's great that we can get on, and I certainly want to get on more, but it's been a burden as being a 24-hour caretaker, and bear with me on those circumstances, because sometimes the heart's there, but I just am tied up with other things and just can't do that all the time. So remember that my job's a 24-hour job. I don't know how much you guys stay on the job, but taking care of my Miss Lovely here is a 24-hour deal. And it can get a little pushy sometimes, but I just stop and ask the Lord to help me, and we get through it. So there's a great number that I know of that's sick in the hospital or whatever. The girl that helps me and Bobby Ann out two mornings a week, she goes Friday and gets her gallbladder took out. And Nader and Herschel, you've seen them on here. That's Lori's mom and father-in-law. He's in the hospital in Anderson, South Carolina, and they're going to do a biopsy on him tomorrow, and he's hopefully going to get to come home Friday. And it seems like we've had a great bunch of folks that have been sick or passed away. I lost a good friend. They buried a great friend of mine yesterday. That she was 87 years old and loved the Lord. She loved the Lord. So don't have any problems with that, other than I won't get to see her no more on this side. And but pray for her family and remember us and our little problems. And of course our grandson Drew and his wife Heather's expecting, and they do seem to be doing pretty good. Remember them. And the others, and I can't read this screen hardly from where I'm at, so I know I have unspoken requests, and I'm sure if you do, the Lord will know who this is. So bow again with me. We appreciate having you, each and every one of you, and I hope you were blessed by coming this way tonight. And well, all we can basically do is say thank you, Lord. And so bow with me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the time. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the love of the saints that come this way. And thank you for these words in Proverbs that ring so true even in today. And Lord, we know and realize and understand that that's the way your word's written, and that it will stand the test of time. And we thank you for it. We thank you for what it tells us. We thank you for that understanding. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that helps us put it together, to give us understanding, to give us knowledge and wisdom. And we know it's an ongoing thing because we never ever can know it all. And so it's a learning experience, like life is a learning experience. And there's things that we can know and see and learn each and every day that you have for us that we've yet to comprehend. And help us each day to do that. Take a little portion of your word and look at it. And not just look at it, but look at it. And give us understanding. The kind that can only come from God. Thank you again. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your thoughts. Thank you for your prayer. Thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood. Because we understand, if nothing else, that everything that the Virgin Mary gave to the Son of God, He gave it back to us in the form of taking away our sins. Something that we could not do for ourselves. Hallelujah. Thank you for your glorious blessings. And thank you for all things. In Christ Jesus we ask it. Amen.